fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks. On Friday, the 7th day of December, year of our Lord, 2018, the day that will live in infamy. In preparative of the day, with today in mind, the 7th day of December, Pearl Harbor Day, and the 11th day of September 2001, I want to encourage everybody to always be prepared. That's Sunday morning, on the 7th of December, 1941, people woke up to the United States being attacked by the Japanese Imperial Navy. On the 11th day of September, 2001, Americans all over the United States were busy with their getting ready to go to work, already at work on the East Coast, when we were attacked on that day. And everything changed as a consequence on both those days. So things happen with no warning. Of course, before we move on to our guest, Tom Berryhill, we do know now that Franklin Roosevelt did know that the attack was coming. In fact, he knew the day of the, he knew that it was, the attack was going to happen that day. Personal note, a friend of mine is friends with one of Franklin Roosevelt's grandchildren. The grandchildren are saying the following. People are pretty upset with the family now that almost everyone knows that Grandpa, that's Franklin Delano Roosevelt, that Grandpa knew about Pearl Harbor before it happened. And try telling that to a World War II veteran. There's still a few alive. In fact, the treasurer of my American Legion post is a World War II veteran. So that's the preparative of the day, is to always be prepared. We have patient Wayne in the green room, my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom is a gentleman who began a quest more than half a century ago to become very knowledgeable about anything, everything, all things related to ham radio. And we're going to talk about ham radio. We'll begin this discussion by talking about batteries, battery technology, what batteries you want, what batteries you don't want, how to keep them properly charged, how to make sure that they're in good working condition, and so forth. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning. How are you today?
Really good. Looking forward to an early winter day here. It's not officially winter, but when it's in the 20s, I think we'll have to classify that as winter. How about yourself, sir?
Same here, John. It's a nice day. It really is.
Okay. Well, when it comes to radios, there's several types of batteries. There's proprietary batteries that are made specifically for a certain type of radios. These are handy talkies, HTs. There's external power supplies, obviously, which may or may not involve batteries. And then there's some of these radios do take rechargeable AA's and AAA's, don't they?
Yes, they do, John. And that's not a bad way to go because you can change the cells, if the battery cells themselves, if something goes wrong. Many of the HTs, as an option, you can obtain a battery holder for them. It looks just like the stock battery, the rechargeable battery, but it holds AAA or AA cells. And you can put rechargeable type cells in there, or you can use it with alkaline batteries. And right. Many people have done that, and it works quite well.
Now, some of these batteries, the newer ones, I believe they have an internal electronic mechanisms, don't they?
Well, now, some of them do, and some of them are fused. They have, like the lithium ion, I've seen some of those that actually have an internal fuse. They can start to melt down if the charging conditions aren't proper, or if there's too much of a current drain on them. That's happened. Of course, everybody's heard about laptop batteries catching on fire aboard airplanes. That's a really bad day when you're on an aircraft and a fire starts. So they're can be quite dangerous. The technology has advanced quite a bit in recent years, so I do like the lithium ion type of batteries because you can pack a lot of power, many watts of power, in a very small space. So they are good. The earlier ones were not so good.
Well, there's other factors to factor in. People have different concerns. I'm a big fan of the nickel metal hydride, which can be, they're promoted as being rechargeable 1,000 times. They don't have any internal circuitry, which means EMP will probably not have any effect on them as long as they're not inside a device or inside a charger. Lithium ion batteries that do have internal electronics, of course, they would be subject to being damaged or destroyed by an EMP event. So there's advantages both ways, isn't there, Tom?
Well, there certainly is, John, and that's really a good way to look at it. The nickel metal hydride, and I have several pieces of equipment that use those types of batteries. They're very reliable. They hold a charge for quite a while. What everybody has to keep in mind is when you do charge up your batteries, they will self-discharge at a very slow rate. So they're always discharging on their own. They don't hold that charge forever.
Well,
so it's good to...
Yeah, go ahead. It's good to what?
Well, it's good to keep for instance, an HT type of radio, portable handheld radio, or anything else that you have to rely on a daily basis. Keep that thing plugged in a charger all the time so it's topped off and ready to go.
Absolutely. Well, there are types of nickel metal hydride that are specifically engineered to be low self-discharge, LSD, just like the drug, Lima Sierra Delta, low self-discharge. And those are the ones, in my opinion, those are the ones you want. That's the ones that I got for my own personal use. These chargers, they run from cheap to professional quality. I like the higher end myself. The closer I can get to professional quality on the chargers, the better I like it. They seem to be easier to work with and more reliable. The mechanisms are more robust, shall we say, than the real cheap ones. What's been your experience, Tom?
Well, similar experiences here, John. And another thing to keep in mind is the charging rate. Many of in the old days, they had nickel-cadmium batteries, and some of those are still available, but they're not the best because they start to develop what's called whiskers, and the internal parts of the battery actually grow metallic, very microscopic-sized whiskers that will short out different portions of the cell, and then the battery becomes unusable. Sometimes you can zap them with a high voltage pulse. Maybe if, say, for instance, it's a 6 or 9 or 12 volt battery, you might want to pulse it with 20 or 25 volts of voltage, and that will almost make those whiskers act like a fuse, and it'll blow them open, and then you can put this that nickel cadmium battery back into service. We used to have to do that back in the old days, and the newer batteries don't develop things like that, but they will. Some of the batteries will develop a memory, and again, that was mostly nickel cadmium, where the battery, as it's being charged, it remembers the rate and that it's charged at, and it also remembers that it needs to be discharged to a certain level. It seems like they have some sort of a memory. So if you let the battery go completely dead, many times, even after you've charged it up, you've got a full charge, everything's ready to go, the battery wants to go back to being dead quite rapidly. So you really have to be careful with some of these battery types. The newer lithium ion, the nickel metal hydride, they have very little trouble with that. And you can actually let them run all the way down. It's not a good idea to do that, but it has happened to me, and I was able to recharge them, and they still had a good service life. I've always found, though, that using a slow rate of charge is much better than a fast rate. So many chargers might have to charge your batteries all night to get a full charge, whereas you can flip a switch on that charger, and it'll charge the battery to a complete charge in maybe 2 or 3 hours. And they call that the fast charge. That will reduce the battery life in the long term. So it's best to leave them charged at a slow rate.
Well, in addition, and as people get into this, they'll find there's issues to deal with. One is organizing the batteries. It's not a good idea to just have them tossed loose into a toolbox or a drawer or a Ziploc bag. There's fairly inexpensive pieces of equipment called battery organizers, available at Amazon.com, and I'm sure other places. Typically what I do, Tom, I'll have the battery charger I'm using set up on a shelf. On the left side, I'll have a tray of batteries that need to be charged. On the right side of the battery charger, I'll have the batteries that have been charged up. And just cycle them through there, take the discharge batteries, put them in the charger. When the charging cycle is complete, put them in the tray on the right, and then repeat. But it gets to be a logistical issue, keeping track of which batteries you've got, how many, which ones are charged, which ones are not charged, and so forth. And I recommend getting both a good quality charger and actually two. One is none, two is one, right, Tom? Two good quality chargers and two good quality battery testers. I make use of the battery testers routinely to make sure that whatever I'm working with has the proper charge. And while I'm thinking about it, Tom, this goes to something called everyday carry, and this is talked a lot about in preppers forums. My current flashlight is made by Bushnell. It's machined aluminum. It takes one AAA battery. Very bright, by the way, for its size. Very bright. Nice little flashlight. And I keep a spare, brand new spare battery with a rubber band attached to the flashlight itself. So I've always got my spare AAA battery right there attached to the flashlight, with rubber, actually two rubber bands, one, because if one fails, I got a backup there. And I just keep that in my back pocket of my jeans or dress trousers, whatever I'm wearing. Takes up very little space, doesn't weigh very much, and it's just always ready to go. And it gives some peace of mind knowing that spare battery is with me all the time, Tom.
Yeah, well, that's a really good idea. All of those suggestions are great, John. And having more than one battery for a particular piece of equipment is very, very crucial, especially for communication. So if you have an HD radio or some sort of a portable setup that runs on batteries, it is very wise to have a backup, a second backup. And also, the backup chargers in case your charger goes bad. And the battery testers now, a lot of people will just use a voltmeter. They'll go buy a cheap digital readout voltmeter for $5 or $6, and they use that to check their batteries. And that gives you an indication there's some voltage in there, but it really doesn't test that battery, John.
Right,
you need
right.
The proper type of tester that puts a load on a battery. It actually simulates that the current is being drawn, and it shows that the battery can operate under load. Many batteries will show a good charge, but when you put a load on them, they go dead.
So right, right.
That's why the proper tester is very important.
Absolutely. Well, most of these field gear has a pouch for NHT these days, both for military, security, and police, which typically would be carried on the outside of the tactical vest. Here comes a however. However, when it gets below 40 degrees, I keep that radio inside my outer coat so it stays warm, and my backup batteries inside my coat also, so they stay warm, because the cold weather will dramatically reduce the performance of that radio battery, won't it?
Yes, it will. But at the same time, many battery types can have an extended life if they're kept refrigerated. Now, if they're not under use and you're storing them for long periods of time, such as alkaline batteries that that you would use for radios and flashlights and things, you can keep their service life a lot longer if you keep them refrigerated. They don't have to be frozen, but just kept cool. But under use, yeah, you're doing the right thing, John. Keep that radio warm. Keep it inside your coat. And, of course, if you're using an HT out in the field, it's wise to do that, especially in the wintertime. But you can have a remote microphone, a speaker mic that comes out and clip on the lapel of your coat or your shirt, and you'll hear the radio traffic and you'll be able to respond. You just push the button on the microphone to talk and start talking. So works quite well, and it keeps the radio warm.
In addition, most of my rifles these days have optics on them that require a battery, one of these new flat type of batteries. I keep the extra batteries for those in a cheek piece, a strap-on cheek piece that goes onto the buttstock of the rifle, and I keep usually two or three of those flat batteries in there so that I've always got spare batteries for my optics as well.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, and I know the exact battery type you're talking about, those little silver cells.
About the size of a quarter.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I think it's a CR 2032, I believe, is the part number for that larger one. And then there's some smaller ones. But those batteries last a long time, and they work quite well. But again, have spares. You know, when you least need it, that's when they fail. So
another piece of equipment that I use for tactical purposes. I know when I was on a standing watch here at my mother-in-law's place during the Ferguson riots, I had my electronic earmuffs with me. Now, most people have never had on a pair of electronic earmuffs. They're made specifically for being at the rifle range. When they look like regular earmuffs, but they have an electronic mechanism that shuts down in a microsecond when there's a loud noise, such as a firearm being discharged. That's what people buy them for. They also allow normal conversation. But in addition, they amplify, if you turn them up, they amplify all sounds. So that if you're doing what I was doing on standby to protect the family home here, if the criminals are two or three criminals or four or five or eight or 10 criminals are walking down the street, you can hear them talking because of the electronic earmuffs, which typically take either AAA or AA batteries. So once again, if it's cold weather, you've got your electronic earmuffs on so you can hear the criminals and what they are talking about. You want spare batteries in a warm spot in your pocket inside your coat to take care of that. Here's our break. We'll be right back.
No satisfaction.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcaster?
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, town there I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning, look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Back, J.R. Moore here on Friday. It is Friday, the 7th day of December. I have an immediate need for people to do marketing for me, marketing me as a speaker. If you're interested in that, if you're a marketing person, my contact information is at my website at thelibertyman.com. Let's talk. This is Friday, the first hour. We talk about emergency survival communications. We're visiting with Tom Berryhill. The call number is 800-313-9443. Well, Tom, these proprietary batteries that go on these HTs, there's two kinds. There's the ones made by the manufacturer, and there's aftermarket, isn't there?
Yes, there is. That's correct. And I suggest going to the manufacturer if you can afford it. The aftermarket batteries will work, but sometimes they're not the same.
Well, and with a, I know I've got some HTs that were manufactured back in the mid 90s, so they're right at a quarter century old. Factory made batteries are no longer available. I've gotten aftermarket batteries and had some success with them. It's kind of funny. The one battery, it works. There's actually several of them. They work perfectly, but there's an offset. They're offset from the top of the, from the battery to the radio by about an eighth of an inch, which is more of a cosmetic thing than anything else. They function perfectly, but that's kind of things you run into, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And you know, John, some of the older radios, you were able to crack the battery case open, or in some cases there were just several screws that held it together. You could open that thing up and replace the actual cells that went bad. So sometimes you can rebuild them, sometimes you can't. But if you do rebuild them with some high-quality cells, it'll be just as good as when that radio was brand new.
Absolutely. We got a caller on hold here. We got Jerry in Texas. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Tom. Good morning, John. I want to do a 180 here, I guess. A buddy of mine was asking the other day what was the best scanner radios that was out there, police scanner, whatever. And I said, I know Tom and John's talked about them, but I haven't made any notes. Did I get y'all's opinion of those right quick? I know y'all mentioned them before, but I'm going to write them down this time.
Okay. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, as far as scanners go, I know that Uniden makes good scanners, Bearcat, I think even
same company. Uniden and Bearcat are the same company, by the way.
Are they the same company? Well, there you go. That
they are now. They used
popular.
To be separate, but they're the same now. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the unit that I use, I've talked about it on your show, John, is made by AOR, and I don't have the radio right here in front of me, but it's their digital voice that does all modes, and that as a scanner is one fantastic piece of equipment. Because it will not only scan, but you can use it as a shortwave receiver, an FM radio receiver, an AM band shortwave radio. It will work on all the ham radio bands. That's the one I use, but they're kind of expensive, but it's a very nice piece of equipment. There's all kinds of scanners out there, but nowadays you want to make sure that you get one that will operate with digital audio, like P25, which is what most of the law enforcement's using today. Everything's merged over to the digital modes of transmission. Ever since everybody using land mobile equipment had to go to narrow band operation, they probably upgraded their equipment at that time to work with the digital modes. And it's really important that you have a scanner that can intercept those types of transmissions. The unfortunate thing about digital, though, is it's very easy to encrypt it, and many of those systems aren't totally encrypted, so you can't receive them no matter what, unless you have specialized test equipment and you know the security codes to unlock those transmissions.
An alternative to John, go ahead, Tom.
Well, the day is coming to where I really think all law enforcement, everything will be encrypted, and nobody will be able to listen to any of them. A lot of it's going on like that right now.
Well, it'll happen to the larger municipalities first because of the cost involved, and they would have money to do that. But what's been used for many years is called frequency hopping, where they'll have 10 frequencies, and every time the officer or the base station keys up a mic, the computer chooses one of the 10 frequencies, and there's scanners meant to keep up with that as well, aren't there?
Oh, yes, there are. And, yes, those systems are in wide use, mostly on the higher frequencies. That's called trunking. And those trunking systems do switch around to however many channels that they have allocated to them. And they call it the handoff, where when they get to a certain area where there's a stronger signal, and the cellular telephones work the same way, John, and they hand off that signal to a stronger base station, and that might be closer.
Hold that thought,
that.
Tom. Hold that thought. Jerry, hold on. Tom, hold on. We got a break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just 2 bottles, a 4-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It is Friday. Yesterday we had Steve Whitman on. The show is archived. Steve told his story about how the energy cleaner literally saved his life. It's a very dramatic story. If you didn't hear yesterday's show, second hour, it's posted at Republic Broadcasting's archives. It'll be posted at my archives before the end of the day today. And the energy cleaner did, in fact, save his life. A marvelous healing device. If you go to my website at thelibertyman.com, you can study up on the energy cleaner, find out what it will do for you in terms of pain mitigation, helping you get a great night's sleep. You can place your order for the energy cleaner right there, for the energy cleaner and the mattress pad that goes with it. Keep in mind the following. I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. So check it out. Place your order using PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. Get your life back. And, that would be great, wouldn't it? I got a toll-free order line to get the energy cleaner. Now, here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. We're visiting with Tom Berryhill. We're talking about emergency survival communications and batteries and all topics related to batteries. Jerry, did you have any follow-up before we move on?
No. Thank you. Like I say, y'all talked about it, and I couldn't remember what it was all about. Do me a favor, both of you. Y'all have a good weekend, and thank you for taking my call.
Okay, thank you. The website for the scanner Tom was talking about, AOR, that's Alpha Oscar Romeo. Their website is AORUSA.com. That's Alpha Oscar Romeo USA.com. They're high-end scanners, excellent professional quality. The Uniden Bearcat scanners are excellent quality as well, and not quite as expensive. So there's scanners to meet all needs and all budgets, aren't there, Tom?
Yes, there are, and you have to just choose what's going to work best for you. I would say a low-cost scanner is better than no scanner at all. You really need some sort of radio receiver, be it a scanner or a tunable receiver that covers the law enforcement channels, the fire departments. You want to listen in on what's going on with these people in the event of an emergency, whether it be a tornado, a storm, power outages, things like that. These types of scanners and radio receivers will allow you to hear the action as it happens. And, John, I sometimes listen to the street crews because they're out there, especially with snowstorms and things like that. You can hear the guys that are doing the plow work and all that. And they'll be talking back to headquarters and to the other trucks to share their experiences with what's happening on particular roads. It's really good information. It's real time, so it's the only way to go.
Well, it is. And the likelihood of those frequencies being encrypted is pretty remote at the moment. That could change, of course. Typically, fire departments do not use encryption. Encryption, unless something changes, encryption cuts down on how far you can talk, which is not a good thing. And fire departments don't feel like they've got the need for that. The paramedics generally are not encrypted also. A lot of times a city government will have their own radio frequencies for city workers, not just all utilities, the water department, the sewer department. If there's any kind of severe crisis going on, you're going to find these other departments involved somehow, some way, especially anything like a flood, ice storm, forest fire, things of that nature. These other agencies are going to be heavily involved, aren't they, Tom?
Well, they certainly are, and of course you want to have the ability to listen to their transmissions. I just keep hearing more and more of them going to digital, though, John. So for the time being, though, there's still a lot of analog radio traffic on the public service frequency, so you can hear a lot of the activity. But
let's just be clear here. Digital and encrypted are two different things, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. But when you get into the digital modes of transmission, it is very simple. You just change the bit stream around to where it's encrypted, and you need to unlock it at the far end. And then all the radios that are used on that network have that security key in there that allows them to receive the transmission. Anybody else just hears noise, or they just hear a lot of static. They don't get anything. So it's getting easier to do all the time, John. That's why I really feel that the day is coming where you won't be able to listen to them at all.
Tom, would it be a fair statement that within the radio community, there's men and women who it is their passion to be able to decrypt encrypted transmissions so they can listen to them? Would that be a fair statement?
Well, that's a very fair statement.
I thought so.
And yes. And look, anything electronic, I mean, you can crack it if you put enough effort into it. So it can happen, yes. Does it happen often? I really don't know. You know, in the past years, John, I had what was called a radio service monitor, and it allows you to tune up the radios, to adjust them, to hear them as they transmit. You could actually, it was like a small two-way radio itself that could go on any frequency within its range. So you use these to calibrate and test and adjust the police radios, fire department radios, taxi cabs, any of them. And the unit I had was made by Motorola, and it had what was called SecureNet boards in there. So I could actually listen into encrypted traffic with that service monitor. I sold it several years back on eBay. Didn't really need it anymore. But it was a very handy thing to have because you could hear everything going on. But it's gotten even more sophisticated than that. And these days with the P25 modes and DMR and some of the others, it's quite easy to encrypt that traffic. So that's why I say more and more agencies are going to totally encrypt it. I don't really think it's always a good idea because sometimes the general public listening in can be helpful. What if an officer is in distress and needs help, whether it be under attack or has a medical condition or something happens and one of these people needs help? Somebody with a scanner that might happen to be right in that general vicinity could come and help them. Whereas if all of this is encrypted, they're kind of on their own. And if somebody can't get there fast enough, it could be a bad thing.
Tom, a friend of mine, I'm not going to mention his name. You know him. He bought off eBay about a dozen radios that had been used for White House security, and they still had everything programmed in, just as usable as the day they left the White House. He thought that was pretty neat.
I think so too, and most likely those if they were Motorola radios, they probably, if they were maybe a generation older, they probably used that Motorola SecureNet, so they probably would have been able to be intercepted by that equipment that I had. A lot of that's so antiquated now, nobody even wants it. The ham radio operators will buy those units, the service monitors, because they're still they're quite functional for ham use, and they're becoming very affordable because there's so many of them out there, and they've all been surplus. And they're quite handy to have if you are serious about your communications equipment and you want to work on it. It really takes something like that to get the job done. So unfortunately, though, the newer systems, and of course, you know, if these things are encrypted, they need technicians to work on them. Somebody has to work on this equipment and maintain it, so they have to have the ability to listen to it, whether it's encrypted or not. And that equipment's available, but you're talking sometimes $30,000 to $50,000 just for one unit to work on that type of equipment. It's quite expensive. And even at that, the prices are coming down some. But for the higher-end stuff, it does get up into that
Well, I haven't looked at this equipment for a while myself, and I got some sticker shock here looking at Uniden Bearcat line. Handheld digital police scanners, you're looking at, for $720, here almost $800, $776 for a handheld digital police scanner with a charging unit. I had no idea that that was what these things were going for. It's pretty shocking if you haven't looked at them for a while.
Yeah, I have not, John, but that doesn't surprise me. The higher-end, better-known units can be quite expensive. And, you know, that AOR receiver I talked about, I bought it secondhand, but it was like new, not a scratch on it, and I paid $900 for that. So they are expensive.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, as the old saying goes, you know, you get what you pay for. And if you want to be in this ball game, you have to be prepared to pay the price and invest money to achieve your goal. Right, Tom?
That's right. And there's a lot of small USB units, like a little USB stick that you can plug in the side of your computer, and it acts as a scanner. There's a lot of those, and those are called software-defined radios, SDR-type radios. Those are available, and then what they do is they act as the RF circuitry, and then the computer does the rest of it. So it feeds that information through the USB port right into the computer, and there's a program that you install on the computer, and that acts as the actual receiver. It does all the signal processing and everything else, and then outputs it to the speakers on a computer or a headset if you plug in. And it's an inexpensive way to get into it. I don't think those units
are... Well, here's something even less expensive. And I've made use of this during the Ferguson riots. The website is Broadcastify. So broadcast with IFY on the end. This is a service on the internet that doesn't cost anything that allows you to listen to literally hundreds of police, fire, and emergency medical services and aviation and railroad transmissions all over the United States without even having a scanner. I believe it's not as good as having a scanner, quite frankly, but if you want to get started and not cost you anything, this would be a way to do it. The website is worldwidewebbroadcastify.com/listen/. If you get to Broadcastify, you'll get there. But it's good. It's better to have your own scanner, a dedicated piece of equipment that's set up to scan the frequencies in the area that you're physically in, isn't it, Tom?
Well, yes, sir, and that's very important to have your own equipment, because while you could tune in or log into Broadcastify and get that audio stream that you want to listen to from the police or fire, whatever the agency is in your area that you want to listen to, yes, it will be there. But in the event of an all-out catastrophe, that service might not be available, or the government comes in, the federal, state, and local governments will have priority to use a cellular network, and they will set the service levels that locks out everybody else except for their own systems.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's a way to get started. It's really going at it on the cheap. So I encourage people to go ahead and make an investment and get the equipment that will allow them to listen to the police, the fire, the paramedics, city workers in their area. And the time to do that is before the event. Once the event begins, well, it's obviously too late, right, Tom?
Well, that's very true. And you really have to have the equipment set up. And I know the scanners you were talking about earlier, John, $700 or $800. I know that's a lot to spend for something like that, and most people won't choose to do that. But maybe $200 or $300, I think they could get a pretty decent unit. There's a lot of systems on eBay, receivers and scanners, some of them handheld that you can carry with you. They look like an HT radio, but they're actually a scanner, and
right,
those could be
right,
very handy. Yeah, very, very handy in a situation like that you referred to, like the Ferguson riots. It'd be very important to have knowledge of what's happening, so that if you're traveling, for instance, you wouldn't want to go head towards that area. You want to find an alternate route, and hearing the radio traffic will really help you determine which way you have to go.
Absolutely. Well, another thing I want to remind, going back to batteries, any device that takes AAAs, AAs, Cs, Ds, and so forth, do not store the equipment with the batteries inside. Do not do that. You'll end up regretting it, won't you, Tom?
Yeah, that's the absolute truth. And it's not if they're going to leak, it's when they're going to leak. And that's why even on that energy cleaner, we tell everybody to change the batteries at least once a year. not because they've drained down and they're used up. They'll go a lot longer than that, but that's about the time they may start leaking. And you can have batteries. It seems like you can have them stored in even refrigerator or unrefrigerated, and they'll store for a long, long time. But then what happens is you get into put them to use, and they could put in the service, and they're left in that equipment for a period of time. That seems to be when they start to leak. I'm assuming it's because they start to have some of their energy drained off, and the chemistry in the battery changes a little bit, and the leakage can begin. So the damage that it does to a piece of electronic equipment, John, is in so many cases, in most cases, actually, it's so severe that the equipment has to be trashed. It's just not good anymore.
Right,
can't
right.
even be well, recovered.
When I started my concealed carry training 18 years ago, I neglected a couple of times to remove batteries from the electronic earmuffs, and it wrecked the earmuffs as far as – they're still earmuffs, but they're no longer – the electronic capability was gone because of battery leakage. So now I have a Ziploc bag for each individual piece of electronic earmuffs. It has their own bag. Before the class, the night before, I put the batteries in. The evening following the class, I remove all the batteries and keep everything together in a Ziploc bag. Here's our last break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This...
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back, J.R. Moore, here on Friday, the 7th day of December. Well, Tom, people are listening, and they're thinking, oh, no, I got to spend $700 to listen to the place. Well, not you don't necessarily. This is where ham radio clubs come in. You may not need an expensive digital scanner for your area. You don't know Well, if you don't know, you don't know. And I don't want people to be buying equipment that they don't need to be buying. That's why I encourage people, and I know, Tom, you do also, to locate your nearest ham radio club. I've got the website to help you out here. That's the National Association for Amateur Radio, the ARRL.org website. That's Alpha Romeo Romeo Lincoln.org. Go to that website, and you can find the ham radio club in your area, can't you, Tom?
Correct, John. And at the ARRL, you will find not only the ham club listing, so you can get hooked up with some ham radio operators that will help you in your local area, but you can also find numerous information on how to get started. They have books available, study materials. They have everything that you would ever need to get started in ham radio, and that's where you'll get started. And then, of course, find that local ham club, and the members there would be more than happy to help you come up to speed and get your license and get on the air. You'll meet a lot of interesting people in the process.
Right, right. Well, I just want to you can do a search for ham radio clubs by state. They got all 50 states, and it looks like in the state of Missouri that we have 60 ham radio clubs, 60 ham radio clubs. So this is where the beginning point to meet men and women who are not only interested in emergency communications, but also preparedness. People are always asking me, John, where can I find people of like mind? This is the place to do it. Right, Tom?
Oh, it really is. And so many of the ham radio operators that I know, John, and then ones that I've met that are new to it are also very involved in preparedness. So there's a common interest there amongst the ham operators and people that are involved in preparedness. And so many of the people that are getting prepared will elect to become a ham radio operator if they aren't already. So it's just a good skill to acquire. It doesn't take as much effort as it did in the old days. You can study for 2 or 3 weeks. I'd say in the worst case, a month's time, you'd be up to speed and use your online study guides and take the online test that will show if you have the knowledge up to par and you're ready to take the test. So you can pass that test online and go through those questions and learn that material, you'll get that license right away, and then you're on the air. And then I've always explained it as like an apprenticeship. Once you get your first technician class license, you're on the air, and you'll meet others, and you can continue to study and advance to the next level if you want. Some people don't need it. They just want to talk on a local basis, and the technician class license would be sufficient for that.
Absolutely. Tom, this was a fast hour. Appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, John.
Okay, thank you. That's the top of the hour break. We're back to Dr. Leonard Wilson. Thank you.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.